Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Milwaukee. Good morning, Wisconsin. Conversations at the intersection of life, community, and business. Today, we're all business. Headlines and unique insights on local and national business items with the Milwaukee Business Journal. Joining us today, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, thanks for taking the time this morning.
It's great to be here.
All right.
Great to be here still.
Let's fly right into it. Concerns about and a Milwaukee connection at Southwest Airlines. What's happening at Southwest Airlines today?
Well, I haven't been on a jet this morning, but it could still happen later today. We'll see what happens. Well, there's Southwest, you know, has been having its issues in recent months and years. And now some of the shareholders are demanding that there be a change at the CEO level and on their board in order to just change the corporate culture and take a new approach to the business. And there's a large activist investor called Elliott Investment Management that recently, last week, had called for changes. And then Artisan Partners, which is based here in Milwaukee, and they manage about 2% of the stock in Southwest, joining the chorus, seeking changes at the top.
Yeah, Elliott Investment Management invested $1.9 billion at Southwest Airlines, and the investment firm has no position in any way in terms of what a new revenue tool could look like for the airline, but this has got to be all about operational efficiency, correct? I mean, you're either going to look at maybe reducing cities, maybe increasing fares, maybe increasing fees. I mean, what are the opportunities for the airline more profitable?
The one I've read about was that they were going to change their boarding policy. So it wouldn't be the corral and you know, whoever jumps in line first, you know, gets the first pick. So I don't know how it would work and why that would be better, having assigned seats, but you know, the point is that they would look at anything and everything. Southwest has been doing things a certain way, and that worked for a lot of years, yeah. And a lot of people liked it, and it was low cost, and for Milwaukee, had the most destinations. But big picture, they've been having some problems the last couple of years.
Yeah, I've seen on a couple of the national airline sites that you know, there's some thought that there's a groupthink process happening. You know, you've been doing things the same way for so long, as you mentioned, Rich, that, hey, now it's time to kind of not pull back, but really look at new ways to continue to innovate. By my count, Southwest flies to 14 cities from MKE. In addition, Southwest is adding more daily nonstops from Milwaukee to several existing destinations, Atlanta, Denver, Fort Myers, and beginning July 11th, they're going to fly nonstop service to Kansas City. So it's good. Obviously, Milwaukee is a pretty strong Southwest Airlines hub. The airline has top market share in 22 of the top 50 U.S. cities and is second place in another 10 of those top cities. So obviously a substantial player in the airline space. When we come back from the break, we're going to move from air to water. What's new at Mercury Marine? Talking to Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal today. I'm Jeff Sherman, and this is The Upswing.
Big old jet airliner. Don't carry me too far away. Oh.
Welcome back to The Upswing, business headlines with Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. Rich, what is happening at Mercury Marine? Sales sinking a little bit?
Yes, they of course, are one of the top makers of outboard motors, among other motors that propel boats. And Fond du Lac is their world headquarters, and they have a huge plant there, 3,500 employees. I looked at the numbers after they announced layoffs last week. Temporary layoff. It goes from now into July and affects about 300 employees in Fond du Lac. But their outboard motor sales were down significantly the first part of this year, and apparently the trend is continuing, and that's why they need to do this.
You think it's just pullback on the consumer side, or is this just, I don't know, a trend that we're going to see?
Well, it seems like
fewer toys.
Well, see, people spent a lot of money on toys like boats, outboard motors during the pandemic and right after. RVs would be another example of a product in that category. Mm-hmm. So there's some of that. People already blew their wad, to buy these right. big, ticket items.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is interest rates. If you're going to finance your big new Mercury outboard, it's going to cost a lot more.
Yeah, and you're probably seeing a little bit more sales in kind of the used market as well. People not buying as many new vehicles, obviously, and it's got to be the same in the boat space.
Right. And that's one thing that Mercury said was that there are fewer new boats being sold as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to move on to healthcare. A bit of a conclusion, if we will, at Ascension with the hack. I know on the Sherman side, we were trying to make some appointments recently and still having some challenges. The customer support was great. They're letting us know, hey, you can call in. We're going to get this rectified. But it didn't seem like we're able to make those appointments via MyChart yet. But mm-hmm. at least it seems like they know what the cause of the hack was.
Yeah, it sounded, they said it was innocent. It was an employee unintentionally downloading some malware.
Okay.
And malware. They said it was a very, small number of their locally based offices that were affected by this, less than 1%, but they just don't know exactly. They still don't know. They're still doing analysis of how much that spread through their organization, whether any patient records were somehow inadvertently released.
Yeah, and all customers will have access via Ascension, if we'd like, to credit monitoring services, which is obviously good to do no matter what, but to have that ability through Ascension, if you're a patient and concerned, it is now available to you. Let's move on to pizza. We're going from topic to topic quickly here. A new pizza place in the market is coming. Your colleague Linda Spice had this news yesterday. What can we expect from Mountain Mike's Pizza, Rich?
Well, what kind of pizza do mountain men eat? That's I think we'll answer that question. A Billy Goat pizza or, rock climbing pizza.
Yes,
it's all those different flavors. They are based in California. They started in California and sort of moved through the West and Southwest and now into Wisconsin. Their first location is going to be in Greenfield at 78th and Layton. They're also opening in Green Bay. First stores are going to open next year. It says here they are known for crispy pepperoni 20-inch pizzas.
Okay.
So maybe right. crispy, the mountain guys.
Crispy pepperoni seems to be a differentiator.
They got to have right. that, and they do have an all-you-can-eat lunch buffet. Yes.
All right. What are your thoughts on national restaurant franchises in the Milwaukee market? It seems like it may be kind of tough to get people out of their habits because there are so many wonderful neighborhood pizza places in greater Milwaukee and really across the entire state. Is it tough for a franchise like this to really get a strong foothold, or do they just see the opportunity?
I got one word for you, Chick-fil-A. There are some national brands and some national chains that hit the market and people are just crazy about it and they're waiting in line for hours.
True, but the difference on the Chick-fil-A is that I probably didn't already have a favorite fried chicken sandwich. Now everyone's making them. So on the pizza level, you probably have your local favorite. You're like, hey, Zaffiro's, Calderon Club, whatever it is.
True.
And to change those habits, you got to give me a reason why. And hey, maybe it is the spicy pepperoni that's spicy a little pepperoni. Bit more fried that I need to try it.
Yes.
And then you got to have the service and the quality to continue to move forward. And maybe that Mountain Mike's.
And you already have plenty of national pizza chains here if you want a national pizza chain.
Exactly.
So, and entrenched local competitors. Almost every neighborhood has one or two of their favorite pizzerias. So, yeah, it is different than the chicken business. I mean, you've got your golden chickens and some of those.
Yes.
But, we'll see what happens. Taco John's came here a few years ago also, and, I'm not sure. I remember when Sonic came to town, too.
That's true.
People were waiting in line for that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm a rising tide lifts all boats. You can bring a new pizza. Hopefully, it's going to make everyone else better. When we come back from the break, I got a few people chiming in on Southwest via the WTMJ talk and text line, which is 855-616-1620. And is Clarios IPO ready? The local battery maker explores. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us on the upswing today. I'm Jeff Sherman, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to the Upswing. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us today from the WTMJ talk and text line, 855-616-1620 from the 414. Going back to our first topic, Southwest needs to get its act together. From the 262, what I've always loved about Southwest is that what you see is what you get approach. No surprises with the extra fees and fine print, and yet reasonable, if not more, fares on the expense side. So it'd be sad to see a bunch of hostile investors force them to be, quote, deceptive like all of their fears. So peers. So some fears that, hey, maybe things will change at Southwest, but we'll keep an eye on that for sure. So Clarios, local battery maker, filed for an IPO originally in 2021 and is exploring that once again, Rich Kirchen?
Yeah, most people probably are not familiar with this company, Clarios, by that name, but for decades it was the Johnson Controls battery business, and Johnson Controls sold it in late 2018, early 19 to a major private equity company called Brookfield, which is not based in Brookfield, Wisconsin. They don't have any manufacturing here anymore, but they do have about 600 employees in Glendale at the headquarters, and they have a lab over there. And they are the largest maker of low-power automotive batteries, which you'd think maybe those are being phased out because of electric vehicles or hybrids, but they're not, because those vehicles also need, in addition to these big whatever lithium ion batteries, they still need those. And there are advanced battery technologies, but Clarios is in the game and still growing. Had a record year last year, but at the moment they updated their financial reports so that if they do decide to go ahead with an IPO, they'd have this SEC filing at the ready. But right now they're not going to market.
Okay, all right. Another thing to keep an eye on for sure. As we head into the RNC, mid-July, new subcontractors have been named to retrofit not only Fiserv Forum, but the UWM Panther Arena and other existing entities. What are you hearing there in terms of the local involvement?
Yeah, well, Freeman is the general contractor inside the buildings at the Panther Arena, Baird Center, and Fiserv Forum.
And they're based in Dallas,
yes,
correct?
Yes. And they do these big events. They're well underway with basically tearing out the basketball arena setup and turning it into a convention space. So they did release the names of some of the subcontractors. J.P. Cullen is the biggest of the group. Staff Electric in Menominee Falls. Blifert Lumber, going to get them some wood.
That's good. All right.
And Klein Dickert's going to move some windows around for them. So, yeah.
So they'll be the window supplier and installer based in Pewaukee, Klein Dickert. Mm-hmm. In terms of programming around the RNC, you know, we're seeing the Pabst Theater Group has Bill Maher coming in the day before. I think it's July 14th. He has his date. What's happening in the RNC comedy space in terms of Fox News, and you know, what will be the, how do you see ticket sales shaking out there?
Good question. Well, the story that I did last week was some of the comedians who appear regularly on the Gutfeld show on Fox News, including Joe DeVito, are going to be at the Improv in Brookfield also before the RNC. And I did talk with Mr. DeVito, and he said when they booked the show, they did not know that it was right before the RNC. And at some point, he figured that out.
Yeah, okay.
So he says it's a coincidence. When I looked last week, it's the Friday and Saturday before the convention, and tickets were still available. $25 general admission.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a drink minimum with that, but
right.
They're coming in. And also, he's going to stick around because the Gutfeld show, because Fox News will be in the convention zone doing their newscasts. Okay. And their commentary shows. The Gutfeld show also, at least some of it or part of it, is going to be broadcast
Speaking
live.
Speaking of news, we're going to get to ABC News next. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined today by senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, in terms of protesting downtown during the RNC, what are you hearing from local businesses in terms of location and shift in location? I know there were some concerns from some of the smaller business owners, bar owners, in the use of Pier Marquette Park. Have they identified a new location yet?
Not that I know of. You know, it seems like the Secret Service had really designated Marquette Park, and the city of Milwaukee seemed to be okay with that. So obviously there's been a lot of coverage of the Republican Party and the RNC wanting to move the protesters further away. And then the latest development was last week that they were doing their own thing. They were proposing their own events at Marquette Park and at the Milwaukee County Historical Museum, which is right on that property.
Right, yeah. The Milwaukee County Historical Society is right at Pier Marquette Park. Also, the Westtown Association used to do river rhythms and other activations at that park. So I think the RNC is looking to do some programming there, whether it's, you know, for convention goers, obviously not the general public, but, you know, to do some type of activation there, maybe a beer garden, maybe something else. Then we'll see where the protesters' location moves. I'm thinking it could be a street. I don't know, other park areas in the security zone.
The other park that's downtown is right near the Good Karma Studios and offices here, Zeidler Park.
Zeidler Union Square.
That's a smaller park, and there's not, it wouldn't be as much room. So, and again, we haven't reported this, but what I've heard is that MacArthur Square has been suggested.
Right.
That is, you know, just to the west of Miller High Life Theater and the Baird Center.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, MacArthur Square needs some upgrades. There's some load-bearing issues there at that park if they're going to do tents and staging and whatnot. So I don't know if that's going to be optimal, but something to keep an eye on for sure. What do you know about leadership changes at both Aurora and Strattec?
Well, the news this week at Aurora Healthcare is that essentially the last three top executives from the old Aurora, which was based in Milwaukee and largest healthcare system in the state, largest employer in the state, they merged with Advocate Health Care of Chicago a few years ago. And then about a year and a half ago, Advocate Aurora in turn formed this joint operating company with Atrium Health of North Carolina. At any rate, there were three executives still left, in at the top in the sort of in the C-suite, and they're all leaving. Christy Garcia Thomas and Rick Klein are the two that are Rick already retired recently. Christy's going to leave in August. Okay. And then Mary Beth Kingston, who's the chief nursing officer, is going to retire at the end of the year. So it's the end of the era as far as the top Aurora leaders being involved with that healthcare system.
Okay. All right. And new CEO at Strattec?
Right, right. Well, Frank Krechi, who had been the CEO for quite some time, he succeeded Harry Stratton, who also was the board chairman. They had some shakeup in their board, including Mr. Stratton stepping down at the beginning of the year. And they've been looking for a CEO. I mean, Frank Krechi announced he was leaving, I think, last November. And they just announced that they are bringing in, speaking of Clarios, mm-hmm. former Clarios and Johnson Controls executive from their battery division. And her name is Jennifer Slater. Later. She's was working with another automotive supplier. She's going to start in July. So we'll see what happens there. There's a lot of Strattec is an automotive supplier, and they face a lot of pressure to, you know, upgrade their technology and keep their prices low for those automakers.
Yeah, automotive access products, lock sets, where their headquarters right on 33rd and Good Hope Road in Milwaukee. When we come back from the break, changes at Shopko Optical, a sale and what that impact could be for shoppers. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Business headlines, local, national impact with senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, Rich Kirchen. Rich, thanks for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it. Shopko Optical.
Sure.
Make sure we're on. We're going. Let's go.
Yes, we are on.
Shopko Optical sale and impact on customers. Shopko Optical's locations in Southeast Wisconsin includes sites in Hales Corners, Mequon, Racine, Pewaukee, Kenosha, West Bend, Grafton, bunch of other cities. Obviously, Shopko Optical operates 140 stores across 13 states, but now there's a new owner for that entity.
Yeah, this is a company that's, you know, right, it was one of the, two surviving businesses from Shopko's bankruptcy. And, yeah, they've been growing. They've been adding locations. They've been acquiring other optical businesses, around, especially around the Midwest, and under a private equity owner. And now they have a new owner from Germany who already has a couple of businesses in the U.S. Okay. but looking to expand, and their name is...
So there's some synergy there with the international company that they're able to kind of... You know, use some of their existing systems and processes to acquire Shopko Optical, but still continue the tradition and the legacy there so we can still have fine service.
They said they're going to combine it with their existing holdings in the U.S. I don't know if they keep the name or how they're going to actually do that.
Okay. Well, from Shopko to Costco, the Kirchen family at Costco shopping?
No.
No.
I was to a Costco. When I was covering the retail industry, I did visit the first Costco store in the area, which was Grafton.
All right.
But that was my only time there.
Okay. We'll go up on occasion. And the one thing that, you know, obviously the hot dogs are front and center at Costco, $1.50, you know, really wonderful. But another thing that's huge at Costco are the rotisserie chickens. And they have this kind of a cult following for sure. Really good reasons. They're kind of seasoned to perfection. Whole chickens and a really modest price tag of $4.99. But the calling card is that they're always fresh. And none of the birds sit on the shelf for more than 2 hours, which got to a couple national websites to think, all right, Tasting Table is one of these sites. What happens to those that don't sell after 2 hours? I'm going to have that right now. According to Tasting Table website, contrary to what you might think, unsold chickens aren't just tossed in the bin. They are used entirely. The entire assortment of chicken-based goodies found at the deli counter, the the skins, the bones are removed. It's chopped and shredded into a bunch of other prepared foods at Costco. So don't worry. Those Costco rotisserie chickens, if they don't sell after 2 hours, they're refrigerated and they're sold and they're put into other products. So I like those. I like those kind of good news things because some people think, oh my gosh, if they don't sell, they're just getting tossed. But they're remade and reformulated. So
chicken
we can
salad.
Still have wonderful chicken salad at a good price from Costco.
All right.
So changes at a local media company. Your colleague David Schuyler reports kind of the end of an era at Kalmbach Media.
Yes, probably most people around here, again, don't know Kalmbach Media name, but they might know some of their magazines. Model Railroader was their biggest one for decades. They had classic trains, astronomy, a bunch of others. And, yeah, they've been facing a lot of competition, of course, in the media industry, and print isn't what it used to be. So they are winding down their operations in the Waukesha area. The good news is that most of these publications will continue operating under the new owners, and they are actually retaining their staff, so which involves about 69 employees. They're selling their offices in town of Brookfield, right near Waukesha at the Crossroads Center.
Right.
They haven't said where they're going to be, but yeah, Kalmbach is going away.
Okay. All right. When we come back from the break, I want to ask, what other business news sites do you consume on a daily basis? And are you a Washington Post subscriber? Because if you are, the Washington Post is shopping for a new brand, and there's some pretty interesting things that they're exploring. We're talking to Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Business headlines on a beautiful Tuesday here in downtown Milwaukee. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, joins us. A Milwaukee college will reduce its program offerings and eliminate staff and faculty position following years of declining enrollment and budget deficits. El Verno College's Board of Trustees said last Friday that Business Journal reported that program cuts are coming. Workforce reductions are coming. What does this mean just for the higher education positioning of Greater Milwaukee?
Well, yeah, I think this is a national trend, but private colleges in particular are having a rough go of it, largely because of declining enrollment, and that's just because of demographics.
Yeah.
You know, Cardinal Stritch obviously closed, and other private colleges have announced their own cost cuts, so even the UW system is dealing with having to cut costs. So, yeah, there's a possibility of fewer choices in town. But, you know, the business model requires students who are paying tuition. So there's only so many to go around.
Yeah, I mean, it's why recruitment and retention to the market is so incredibly important and just a huge responsibility for all businesses to continue to grow our population in not only the state but Greater Milwaukee for sure. I mentioned before the break, Rich, are you a Washington Post subscriber? And it's okay to say this, even though, you know, your role with the Business Journal.
I subscribe to the online version of the Post.
Okay.
And I get the Journal Sentinel online as well as Sunday and Wednesday.
Okay. So a lot of...
And I read the Wall Street Journal print edition every day.
Ooh, nice. All right.
Then I do my job.
That is, that's a lot of work. That's good. So beyond kind of the niche business news consumption, a lot of legacy publications like the Washington Post are looking to expand their niches. Do you have any idea what the slogan for the Washington Post is?
Only because you reminded me of it. It's something really dark.
It is. The current slogan at the Washington Post is "Democracy dies in darkness," and it dates back to 2017 as, you know, a former president. It kind of relates to attacks on journalists, but that's really now become kind of the calling card for the Washington Post. And now the Post is saying, all right, it's time to broaden our audience and find a space beyond just presidential politics. And they're hiring a national ad maker to look at new marketing strategies to reposition itself for the future. What's your thoughts just on legacy news moving into the future in a more modern world?
Well, we've been doing it for some time now with this thing called the internet.
But, yes.
And then smartphones changed the game once again, and we've been scrambling ever since trying to figure that out. In the case of a major legacy publication like the Washington Post, it's not easy. I mean, they're selling a lot of subscriptions digitally these days. I'm being an example of that. And it's less expensive to post stories online and on your digital PDF than it is to print up newspapers. But yeah, it's an image thing. You know, younger people in particular are getting their news on TikTok and Instagram and so forth. So, and I know the Post has been, in addition to looking at business coverage, making an effort to expand beyond politics, which is their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
New York Times, Wall Street Journal, I mean, again, they're all Los Angeles Times, all dealing with how to transition to the new era that we're in.
You got
to
continue to position and protect the existing legacy brand while finding new readers always. Rich Kirchen, senior reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, appreciate your time today with us. Enjoy the rest of your day.